A new poll shows Governor Sam Brownback trailing his Democratic opponent Paul Davis, who's showing support from independents and Republicans that many didn't expect. This hour, we'll talk about local politics and how things might shake out in the primaries and this fall. Later, what happens if things go sour for a married gay couple? Many Kansas counties would dismiss any divorce cases without hearing them, but not Douglas County. We'll examine how its policy is different and take a look at other new developments affecting the local LGBT community. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. 19 states allow same-sex marriage. Neither Kansas nor Missouri is among them, but a same-sex couple in the Sunflower State can divorce there, at least in one county, and St. Louis challenged its state's ban on gay unions just last week. We'll talk about the latest events affecting the LGBT community a little later on. First, though, a new poll out last week spells serious trouble for Kansasback, elected in a landslide in 2010. He now trails his Democratic challenger, Paul Davis, by 6 points. And the numbers don't appear to be getting any better for the governor. Here to talk about how a man elected in a landslide who now is fighting for his political life are Dr. Bob Beatty. He's a political scientist at the University of Topeka. Bob, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good to be with you, Steve.
And Dave Helling is back with us. He covers politics for the Kansas City Star. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, Bob, the Survey USA poll out last week had it this way. Democrat Paul Davis, 47% of the vote. Republican Sam Brownback, 41%. Just in general, what do you make of it?
Well, first of all, it's sort of Christmas in June for us watching this election. Not because of the results, because we've been sort of waiting for a poll that would give us a sense of this race. You know, even going 2 years out, Sam Brownback's approval ratings by Survey USA as well were not that good. And the Brownback folks said, oh, you know, don't look at them too carefully. And then a few polls came out in the last year or so that showed Paul Davis was sort of surprisingly close, even leading in a couple polls. But it was just hard to get a sense of what was going on in this race. Although Brownback did look a little shaky, and this is a major poll coming to the election, and I'll talk about more about it later about why I think this is a good poll. And to be honest, it's really giving us a lot of information. And yes, this is a pretty much a dead heat race at this moment, and I think people are still a little surprised at that.
David, are you surprised?
Well, not, maybe surprised in isolation, Steve. One poll does not an election make. But
yeah.
I think what Bob is saying is accurate, that it's been pretty consistent over the past 18 months to 2 years that Sam Brownback is in trouble. You know, remember, he's a Republican governor in a highly Republican state. So for him to be at 41% against any Democratic opponent this late in the game certainly would be a cause for concern if he were a supporter or an advisor to Sam Brownback. It just shows that there is still a deep layer of dissatisfaction with the governor. It is up to Paul Davis to exploit that, and we're not completely sure he'll be able to do that, of course. For that reason, I think Sam Brownback is still the favorite despite these numbers, but that's largely because of his overwhelming advantage in terms of the general identification of the state and not because of anything he's done or that Paul Davis has done to date.
Let me get our listeners involved here. How surprised are you by these findings? Do you put much stock in it? Why is Governor Sam Brownback in trouble, at least based on some of these numbers? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. You know, Bob, several things about this poll stood out as you begin to break it down a little bit. And again, based on what Dave just said, you don't want to give any one poll too much credence. And yet, the Survey USA polls have been pretty consistent. You know, one thing that jumped out to me was that just 7% of voters surveyed here said they were undecided. Bob, you know, most voters have probably never heard of Paul Davis. Given that, what do you make of the 7% undecided finding here?
Yeah, that's a you know, an interesting thing for you to find, because I think it's a really excellent point. Most polls, even at this stage, will show a higher percentage of undecided. Well, one thing, there was a previous poll, you know, a couple months ago that asked the question, are you familiar with Sam Brownback? Do you know who he is? And 98% of those polled, 98% mm-hmm. said they knew who Sam Brownback was.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also correct that a lot of people don't know who Paul Davis is. So by only 7% undecided, what it may look like is that many people might have sort of made up their mind that they're certainly willing to vote against Brownback. But going back to your point, to Dave's point, then it's up to Paul Davis to offer a viable alternative, have a place to go for those people. At this point, they're willing to walk out that door, but Davis has to exploit it, because certainly Brownback in his campaign is going to want to give all these voters who are on the fence or even jumped over the fence a reason not to vote for Paul Davis.
Hmm. Something else that stood out to me, Dave Helling, was that just 62% of Republicans were backing the governor for reelection. Another way of saying that, 4 in 10 Republicans opposing Governor Brownback for reelection, compared to almost 90% of Democrats who were backing Paul Davis. So the conclusion there would be what, Dave?
That Sam Brownback's biggest political hurdle is convincing moderate Republicans, primarily, Steve, in the Johnson County, Kansas area, where a lot of them live, that his economic proposals and specifically his tax cuts have not done serious damage to the schools that they rely on in Johnson County. He has to make that case in the next couple of weeks. You know, the per pupil spending is down, and all the things that go with the economic proposals of Sam Brownback just caused great discomfort among moderate Republicans in Johnson County. Now, just about within the last 45 minutes, Paul Davis had a pretty important news conference you may know about, in which he outlined some of his economic proposals, and he does not he did not say at that news conference that he would repeal the existing Sam Brownback tax cuts, but that he would delay the future cuts, which are to take effect in the out years, and further drop the income tax rate. Paul Davis today said he would postpone that, or would propose postponing that, until school spending reaches the level that it did back in 2008-2009, which is a lot of money. So that's going to be his answer, at least for now. Don't repeal the existing cuts, but postpone the future cuts. And that may be his way to try to appeal to those moderate Republicans in Johnson County because of their support for schools and to get their votes. And the poll may be reflecting that.
Obviously, Dave, Paul Davis, the Democrat here, wants to avoid being painted or being portrayed as a tax increaser, right?
Right. And that's so you postpone the future cuts, so that he can say legitimately no one's taxes are going to go up, but you would have money in the out years then theoretically to fully fund the school per pupil spending in the state of Kansas. Now, whether that's going to be enough, we don't know. I mean, Paul Davis, and I think Bob would agree with this, Paul Davis's biggest challenge is he's going to have to get specific. And at that point, you do start making people angry. Right now, he's a cipher. Nobody really knows who he is or what he stands for to a large degree. And so you get numbers like that. Once he starts proposing certain policy changes in Kansas, then he risks losing some of that support. And I think his announcement today is some attempt to sort of thread that needle as we head toward the primary.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to some phone calls. And Russ from Bonner Springs, good morning.
Hello. The question that I heard was, why is Brownback on the ropes? And the answer that I see is people are beginning to realize, irrespective of how much doublethink they attempt, that neo-Reaganomics, shall we call it, Tea Party economics, just do not work. I find it poetic that Paul Davis is somebody who made his money and is very wealthy by cleaning up messes from disasters. That's actually what his business is, Paul Davis Restoration. And this is a mess that needs somebody to clean it up. I will take my answer via airwaves. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. Bob Beatty, Governor Brownback's economic plan just doesn't work, Russ just said. What about that?
Well, you know, that argument, again, as Dave mentioned, seems to have some appeal for moderate Republicans who may not just like the direction the state has been going in for the past 4 years. And I know, you know, from previous appearances that many of your listeners are pretty savvy about politics. So there's just one thing about this poll that I've talked to you about that I want to make sure they know. This poll actually, 56% of those polled are self-identified Republicans. So which I think is actually makes it more accurate, because in non-presidential years, I predict in 2010, I predicted a 57% Republican turnout, which is incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
So what this poll has done is said, let's sort of go, you know, make sure we get more than enough Republicans. And you can imagine how big a lead Davis would have if they only had 50% Republicans, but they went 56% Republicans. That really takes the steam out of those who say, well, the poll is biased. You know, if anything, it's biased toward Republicans. Again, pointing to Dave's point that a fair number of moderate Republicans, as our caller indicated, are just not happy with not just one policy, but possibly a number of policies in the last 4 years that they believe, as moderate Republicans, are just taking the state too far to
yeah.
the right.
And, Bob, given the 2010 turnout of 56% Republicans in that election, given the fact that the Democrat appears to be more competitive this time around, would you expect the Democratic turnout to be higher than it was in 2010?
Well, the one constant in Kansas politics in terms of watching turnout for me in the last 15 years is Democrats almost always turn out according to their party registration, which is about 25%. There's rarely a huge surge of Democrats voting, but what we do get, again, back to what Dave said, is moderates voting, and like they usually do, moderate Republicans, and then just being willing to vote for a Republican, a Democrat, especially a governor. That's how we get Kathleen Sebelius 2 terms, for example.
Again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking this morning about a new poll out last week that raises big questions about Governor Sam Brownback of Kansas, his political future. He trails his Democratic challenger, Paul Davis, by 6 points in the poll. Technically, the poll still within the margin of error, but consistent polling now showing that the governor very well may be trailing Paul Davis by just a little bit. Back to some phone calls here, and Melissa from Overland Park. Melissa, you're on Up to Date.
Thanks, Steve. I'd like to suggest that Governor Brownback may be a victim of his own anti-government supporters. People who see the government as too intrusive are now looking at him as saying, hey, he's never held a job in the real world. He's held appointed or elected jobs. He's part of the problem. Where you look at Paul Davis, who owns a law office and has, served locally. And it has been more in touch with people in Kansas, and maybe that's what we're looking for.
Melissa, thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Let's go to Karen from up in St. Joe. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. I remember when Brownback first announced for office, and he talked about the grand experiment that he wanted to perform in Kansas. And I had a feeling at the time that he was thinking more about positioning himself for national office, even perhaps running for president, than he was for taking care of the people of Kansas. My cousin was governor of Kansas, Bill Graves. He was kind of a non-flashy kind of a person, but he got the job done. He ran it in a businesslike way, and there were times when I wanted him to do more with his mandate, but I think that Brownback has been too ambitious personally. He brought in Arthur Laffer, which to me is a laugher, the supply-side economics guy.
I think we just lost you. I'm sorry. And Dave Helling, there are any number of reasons for the governor's struggles. I was talking to a Republican lawmaker from Johnson County just yesterday who cited one reason. He said he had heard any number of complaints after the governor blamed the Obama administration for the state's revenue shortfalls rather than, you know, taking on responsibility for his own tax cuts. That makes sense?
Yeah, well, yes. And, just to sort of balance the scales a little bit, Sam Brownback did take office at a pretty tough time. I mean, in the middle of the worst economic recession since the Great Depression. And so he gets a little bit of a pass for an underperforming economy, because all states were underperforming over the last 4 years. And the other thing to keep in mind is this is not the tax cuts that we are now debating in Kansas were not what Sam Brownback originally wanted or proposed. If you'll recall, the bill that finally passed was the result of the senators in the legislature offering a package they thought was so bad that the House would reject it.
That's right.
And they could negotiate. And instead, through sort of miscalculations on all sides, it became law. And now we see the result of that. Sam Brownback's political problem, and Bob, maybe you agree or disagree, but it seems to me Sam Brownback's political problem is he has to defend this tax proposal and broad budget policy almost no matter what. I mean, it isn't as if he can come out now and say, you know what, it's not working, maybe we need to make some adjustments. He's all in on this deal, and I think that does upset moderates in his party who would like to see a little bit more flexibility.
And how difficult is it to defend this plan, Bob Beatty? Again, given the revenue shortfalls, the lack of job growth, just an article in the paper about that today, all of that, what about it?
Well, I think it is difficult, and Dave's point is a good one, that the number of things Brownback didn't necessarily push, but he ended up signing into law, most famously the essentially eliminating the due process system for Kansas teachers. That was the legislature popped that into the education funding bill.
And teachers now organizing across the state, they're so upset by that move.
Right,
yeah.
And Brownback signed that into law. And he's going to have to defend it because he signed it. But that, you know, this poll shows that 34% of those polled saw that as their number one issue, which is education funding. And when you look at that numbers, of those 34%, 73% are voting for Davis. Now, that does make sense, but it's still a whopping number. So Dave's point is really interesting because Brownback may say, listen, I was willing to moderate on some of these issues, but in the end, I signed them into law, and that's what Davis is going to get him on. Well, you signed it. There it is. You could have vetoed it, or you could have done something to change it. And so I think it will be difficult for him.
Well, the other thing to point out, Steve, is that Sam Brownback never said, look, we need to cut taxes because we're taxed too much. Or that, just as a matter of fairness, we need to reduce taxation in the state. He made specific promises about specific things, that if we cut taxes, we will have more jobs, job growth, more people will move to the state, all of which are quite measurable. I mean, you know, you can go back and say, okay, the tax cut took effect on this date, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so now he has to defend the tax and spending plan on sort of an ideological basis, but also on a practical basis, and it's hard to refute facts. I mean, it's hard to say, well, you know, your job growth wasn't what you thought it would be, or that you took in $600 million less in 2 months than you thought you would, or what number it turns out to be, or over a fiscal year. Those are very, very difficult political statements to make, and that's why I think Sam Brownback is in a bit of a box and why his numbers are where they are.
And a quick apology to our listeners. I think we're having some telephone issues here. If you want to try and call us again, feel free. I hope we can get your calls. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here again, 816-235-2888. One other issue that's floating around Topeka is something we haven't heard for quite a while, which is this notion of an FBI investigation into close allies of the governor. I should point out, no one in Governor Brownback's administration has been tagged with this. Having said that, we do have confirmation the FBI is probing around Topeka a little bit here. Bob Beatty, how significant is that factor here?
Well, you know, when we look at this race, we can sort of see two possibilities. One possibility is that Brownback's, raising money, getting ready, and then, after the primary, the cannons fire and Davis gets hit with an onslaught and, the polls change and Brownback recovers and goes to victory. The other is there's a body of political science research that argues that a lot of voters have what's called a running tally, that in their mind, even almost subconsciously, they sort of just put little notches next to names. And if that's going on, if there's a running tally concerning Brownback, then that last a couple of months of nonstop ads will not help him. And so that FBI investigation is another notch against him. The other aspect is he's tied very closely to both the legislature and sort of the conservative movement in Kansas in general, because in 2010 he argued for the clean sweep, vote for me, but also vote for all the other state office holders. And so he's tied into, for example, even though he may not want to be, Kris Kobach. So people could be blaming Brownback for if they don't like Kris Kobach. You can see how that could be problematic.
Yeah. Back to some calls here. Brendan from Shawnee. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say that the reason that Brownback is falling behind, in my view, is because of this rise in populist anger that we're seeing in both parties and also independents and third-partiers like myself who are upset because Brownback is really a corporate candidate. He's being backed by big business. He's being backed by the Koch brothers. He's being backed by the elites in this country. And I think that it's very similar to what we're seeing, what we saw in Virginia, where we saw Eric Cantor lose a seat because of this populist anger. And I think that because of this, we're going to see a rise in anti-corporatism and more populism within Kansas because, and going back to our populist history here in the state.
Gene, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You know, so I guess, yeah, Dave, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I think that some of that is right, although I think to some degree, Steve, voters in Kansas, and I think this has always been the case, vote as much on the basis of what they perceive as competency as they do on ideology in some degrees. You know, Bill Graves is a good example, even Sebelius to a degree. As long as you get the bills paid, get the schools open, make sure the roads are in pretty good shape, party identification is less important than just an evidence of competency. And in that sense, I think that's where the FBI investigation becomes a problem, because when you couple that with this predicted shortfall in revenue that's a surprise that they try to blame on Barack Obama, it does give the suggestion, again, to moderate Republicans, not necessarily to, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Republicans, but for moderates who might be at least thinking about switching their votes, they begin to question whether or not the governor is competent in his job, and that, I think, again, is a political problem for the governor more than it is his alliance with the Koch brothers or whatever, which was known, well known, you know, 40 years ago and hasn't changed.
You know, some other races, while we're sitting here talking about Kansas politics, the Survey USA poll also showed incumbent Senator Pat Roberts well on his way to a fourth nomination for the Republican nod for U.S. Senate. He leads Tea Party or Milton Wolf, Bob, by 56% to 23%. Any surprise there?
Well, and not a huge surprise, because I think in Kansas, as maybe compared to some other states, a Tea Party candidate really has to get their name out, and as Dave sort of mentioned, has to show that they do a competent job there. And Wolf just hasn't spent the money yet to get statewide recognition, so he hasn't been able to make a dent into that.
You know, Milton Wolf has pounced on Senator Roberts for the more than 30 years that Senator Roberts has served in both the House and the Senate. Prior to that day, Senator Roberts worked as an aide on Capitol Hill. Why hasn't that argument carried more weight with voters, at least so far?
Well, it may eventually. My argument has been all along that a lot of people in Kansas always assumed that Pat Roberts didn't really live here. I mean, Bob Dole didn't live here when he was in the Senate. I think people came to terms with that. But let's just assume for a minute that is a problem for Pat Roberts. These pictures that Milton Wolf was caught distributing on Facebook of rather gruesome pictures of medical patients and then some jokes about them arguably cancels that out. It's sort of a mm-hmm. one for another. Well, if those two issues then cancel one another out, then Milton Wolf has to make another argument for getting rid of Pat Roberts. And Pat Roberts, for better or worse, has done an enormously effective job of turning into a Tea Party senator. I mean, his votes are very conservative. His statement's very conservative. He wanted to fire Kathleen Sebelius from HHS, for example. So Milton Wolf has not been able to get to Pat Roberts right on the issues, And if you feel that the Facebook thing cancels out the residency thing, it doesn't leave many places for Milton Wolf to go.
Bob, for Secretary of State, the polls show Democrat Gene Shorthoff, a former Republican state senator, giving Republican incumbent Kris Kobach a run. The breakdown there, 47%, Kobach, 41%, Shorthoff. Sign of trouble for Kobach or not really, Bob?
A little bit, you know, nobody in, I shouldn't say nobody, very, very few people in Kansas know who Gene Shorthoff is, and as much as us political junkies talk about Kobach, a lot of polls have shown that he's still not as familiar by far as Sam Brownback. So Brownback, very familiar, people willing maybe to take a chance on an unknown opponent in that race, but for Kobach and Shorthoff, she's really, really going to need enough money to get her message out there. She's going to need, you know, close to probably $1 million.
And Dave, just finally today, before you go, last week, former Missouri Congressman Todd Akin was back in the news, and he brought up the subject that got him into so much hot water to begin with in his 2012 race for the Senate, and those were his comments about legitimate rape. Akin was talking about Hillary Clinton this time, and he said she was hypocritical for defending an accused child rapist back in 1975. He said this: it is incredibly hypocritical that Hillary Clinton would carry on about an imagined Republican war on women when she once got a child rapist off the hook who she knew to be guilty, and she laughed about how she did it when interviewed. Why is he out talking about all this stuff all over again?
Well, probably to sell a book and make a buck or two. You know, he's publishing this book in the next couple of weeks. But I think that comment is important for us to note in this regard, Steve. You know, Hillary Clinton was just in town to sign her book, and there's a lot of speculation about whether she's running for president or not. If she does decide to run, and we don't know the answer to that, but if she does decide to run, the campaign will be absolutely brutal. I mean, it's a good indication of what kind of arguments are going to be raised 2 years out. And that may figure into her decision. I mean, she's going to have to be ready for one of the most aggressive campaigns in presidential history. And I think Todd Akin gave us a hint of where that might go.
Dr. Bob Beatty is a political scientist at Washburn University in Topeka. That was just the voice of Dave Helling, who covers politics for The Star. Gentlemen, always good to have you. Thanks for taking so much
Great.
Time.
Thanks, Steve.
See you guys soon. You bet.